some type of, but that type of empirical data, well, most empirical you can get, is what has to come out of it. Because all of this, as far as I'm concerned right now, is a show. And it means nothing. It's in PWGB.
Yeah, hello, John. Okay. My voice is coming through very loud. Your voice is about 10 dB weaker. Can you boost your audio a little bit, John? I know that the recording is being made. Your voice is going to be a little bit hard to hear, although we are getting a dead full quieting, so that's going to help. Just for the help of it, give me a quick transmission with your voice a little bit louder. Over to you, John. K2LAW.
KC2WGB. Is this any better, Nick? 1212.
Absolutely. That's a lot better. Okay, so you're saying real calorimetry was taking place from your view of the whole video. I didn't see the whole video. So something like 300 milliamps going in and lots of amperes at 220 volts coming back out, lighting light bulbs, and you talked about calorimetry. Now, give me some words on that. When you viewed the picture, you saw calorimetry taking place. John, go ahead.
No, Dick, I was suggesting the device that I have is what you use to really take the calorimetry reading. We could do an Edison bulb at the same time we're doing a bulb from this device, whatever it is. And then we could get an idea, even if we pull the two bulbs in identical chambers, just a rough check of the temperature rise over a period of time. Look, joules of joules, and we can convert that back into energy, which you know. That's what I was saying. I did not see that in the video.
I agree with you. And so there's a bit of an open end here. Quite often in these videos, they'll show you a voltmeter, and or they'll show you a clamp-on ammeter. And that's only half the story, so to speak. You have to make a little bit of a leap of faith that, okay, that amperes is going into a set of light bulbs, and the light bulbs are showing full brilliance. And was the ammeter, the clamp-on ammeter, a true RMS type? I don't think the label said so, so I worry a little bit about that. On top of that, if there was a spark gap going on somewhere, which generates some very high-frequency harmonics and very spiky voltages, a clamp-on ammeter or a voltmeter, when seeing crazy voltage waveforms, can give some unreliable readings. Your normal voltmeter or ammeter is really an averaging device, and internally it does a calibration between averaging and true RMS based on the assumption that a pure sine wave at 60 hertz or 50 hertz is being measured. If any other waveform or any other frequency is present, then the internal calibration of a ordinary voltmeter or ammeter becomes questionable. In theory, a true RMS meter can tell you the truth if and only if it is rated to the frequencies that are present. If my spark gap is giving me frequencies that go out to 10 megacycles, and my true RMS voltmeter is only rated to tell the truth in true RMS up to 1 megacycle, then I've got a bit of a problem. To make a true RMS voltmeter, it literally has to take the voltage and square it, take the current and square it, and then electronically take the square root of the sum of the squares. And you can see that with any reasonable kinds of sampling circuitry, there will be a frequency limit beyond which it isn't reading true RMS anymore. KC2WGB, K2LAW.
Right on target, Dick. And most of the amperes and voltmeters that I see them playing with are only good to 300 kilohertz. So you're right. Now when we get the spark gap, some of these nonlinear waveforms, not that it's useless, I mean it's a gauge, but it's a rough estimate of what we're looking at. What we can see is the difference in the current going in, which is probably within the spectrum of that meter. But now when we're questioning the 40 and 50, could be considerable, but it still appears to me that there's a game. So there's definitely something going on. Now, whether it's fraud or whether they really had something, that's the whole idea of this conversation. Back to you, Dick.
I wonder if, Wes, the obvious question everyone would ask is, there's strong evidence by those YouTube videos that more energy is coming out than is going in. And has anyone put forth any kind of an explanation to date as to where that energy is coming from? You won't be coming through the machine, but you will be transmitting in the normal 2585 input, and I'll be listening to you on 25. I'll hear everything you say, Wes. N2XJN, K2LIW. I heard you say 1234850. I heard you say that on 146.25. Go ahead, Wesley. I think I want you to keep transmitting the exact same way. I don't know whether or not you have ever transmitted through the 147.375 machine. Is that true, Wes? Go ahead. Okay, very good. You're going to go to the Eastern machine, and I'll be listening there.
By the way, I can hear him perfectly on the 250. We're pretty close. So let's see what happens with the first 735, the 375.
Yeah, I'm also hearing him very well on 250, but because he's not coming through the machine, what he's saying is not being recorded for the website. You said right now that transmission was on 146.25. You haven't switched over to the Eastern machine yet. Go ahead.
That input is 975, Wes.
The easiest thing for him to do would be to literally just simply go over to the 147.375.975. In other words, simply talk through that repeater in the normal way. I think it's the best he can do. I heard you count on the Western machine. I heard your transmission on 146.25 when you counted those numbers. Go ahead. Yes, I'm hearing you good, but you're not being recorded. In other words, everything you're saying will not go into the website recording. So people are only going to be hearing me and John and not you, because you're still on the Western machine. You have not switched over to the Eastern machine. And to address what you just said, a neutron and a proton have almost the exact same mass. A positron is what you were saying. Just because you've got a plasma, which means you freed up some electrons from the molecules, and now you have a plasma consisting of positive molecules and negative electrons, that is not a positron. You use the word positron, so I'm a little bit confused by that. So the set advantage of moving over to the Eastern machine, that way what you're saying will be recorded there with. N2XJN, K2LIW.
Well, I switched to Eastern machine, but obviously my transmission doesn't go there, so I'm going to stay in here. Well, let me put it this way. The cosmic ray has a certain energy level, like a photon that has a certain energy level. Now, the interaction with the free electron will make the increased energy if they meet in the right phase. Or in the right condition. Before I go further, I have to specify what is the ion. If you have a six electrons and six neutrons, let's say, then if one of the electrons goes out, then this atom structure will be positive. It will show inbound. Now, the other one that acquires that electron will be negative. So here we have a difference. When the plasma moves with the speed that is much slower than the speed of the electron to recover. Now, on the right-hand side of the spark gap, you have a little bit more energy that you deliver from the left-hand side. I remember T.K. Ward, he said, don't let the impulse die. Don't let the impulse die. Catch it when you're right next to the peak of it. Now you're creating a lot of, when you're catching it on the peak of it, you're creating a lot of harmonic frequency in entire spectrum. Now you're trying to move that charge much faster than it came from the left-hand side to the right-hand side through the inductive or capacitive.
Repeater, time out. Repeater, time out. Cancel.
Okay. Now, when you move that energy from the right-hand side to the left-hand side, all of a sudden, you see that that energy, because it travels much faster, even through capacitive coupling. Then that energy is added to the energy on the left-hand side and the gate transmitted. So, by this token, you should see the infinite grow on the energy from the right-hand side, but it's not happening this way because the period of the spark has a certain delta T. Now you have an energy that you can partially use to self-looping and the energy that you could use for the load. I know that sounds crazy, but it does have some merits and to exist.
Okay, but what I'm hearing you saying is that once you make the plasma by the spark gap, yes, the pot ions are the molecules lacking some electrons. The negative ions are either the free electrons or, I think they got to be the free electrons, period. The free electrons do propagate much more rapidly than the positive ions. And that tends to make a cloud around one of the electrons if you had DC voltage across that spark gap. You're putting an AC voltage on the spark gap, so that's all being reversed back and forth. But although there is differences in velocities, I'm not convinced that that in itself gives you excess energy. In other words, people have used spark gap transmitters for many years, and the main advantage of the spark gap transmitter is it generates much higher frequencies to operate the antenna than they could have done by electromechanical reasons.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that based on the number of articles, scientific articles that I sent you, the free electron is there before the spark before the spark comes. There is a difference of potential between left hand side of the spark gap and right hand side of the spark gap. The free electron that is being hit with the cosmic ray, it is being hit with the energy. Like the photon that has energy, the cosmic ray has an energy as well. That creates additional electron. That creates another electron. That, we're talking about moving of heavier particles in form of ions. But because the speed of the ion is much slower than the movement of the electrons in pure copper, now if we would be able from the right-hand side just to deliver this extra energy with addition of the cosmic ray or whatever the energy that was acquired over there, including all of the harmonic frequencies that were created at that point, and we do it at the maximum of the peak, that is right before the maximum of the peak, before the peak will start to die. If we deliver it faster to the left-hand side of the spark gap, then we add that energy to the energy that was already delivered over there. Now increasing the cloud of the electrons and we're increasing the plasma. But there is a certain delta T of the spark. By that self-looping, we can utilize the energy from the ambient surroundings.
If I'm temporary a spark gap, and I'm right at the threshold of breakdown in voltage. Yes, it requires a cosmic ray to come along to trigger the event. Then, once I do have a free electron in the presence of a strong electrostatic field, the electron rapidly gets accelerated. If the volts per centimeter is a large enough number for that particular pressure of the gas, so that there's enough mean free path for that electron, he gets a chance to build up enough velocity that when he hits the next molecule, he does impact ionization, he frees up some more electrons by that impact, and he starts the avalanche process. So the majority of the current that really flows in a spark gap, although it may have been initiated by a cosmic ray, the majority of the current and the energy is the avalanche effect created by the voltage difference and the current that you put onto the spark gap. So I'm not convinced that I can, under normal circumstances, operate a spark gap. And if I calculate, if I operate my spark gap in a calorimeter, I don't think I can get more energy out of the spark gap than I put into it when I measure the real true RMS current and real true RMS voltage that I put on the spark gap. So I can figure out with true RMS metering how much energy I put into the spark gap, and if I'm operating it inside of a calorimeter, I can find out exactly how much energy comes back out, and I don't think you could gain out of that. And the majority of that energy is avalanche energy of the spark gap once the spark has been initiated. Let me pass it to John first for his comments on that, and then he's going to pass it over to U.S. KC2WGB in the group, K2RIW.
KC2WGB. Dick, can you hear me? I'm back on the U5O.
You sound beautiful. Go right ahead.
Okay, you brought up a very interesting point that I didn't think of. We could take a basic spark gap and run it on DC, and we can get exact data, and then we can check the calorimeter. So now, if the spark gap is producing anything unusual, it should show up. And what amazes me is these people that are showing these demonstrations, I'm sure they can afford a thermometer even. Even a thermometer would help us out. But what do you think of that, Dick, with the DC spark gap? Should that prove the concept?
Dick, before you jump in, look, guys, somebody paid tremendous amount of money to do this installation. You see how much structure is over there. That somebody that all was also in Turkey. That show, and that was show that was before the glass table in Turkey, when they had a plenty of scientists over there. Now, Turkish government has spent over 1 million euros for 1 year. That's the latest information that I have got. Before they got this show running, and then there was another show that was sponsored by Westel. That's what I know about it. At least what I was told. So this guy invested hundreds of thousands of dollars just to have it run. I don't believe that somebody will be fool enough with the bones of the scientists to see 0.3 amps in and 100 kilowatts out and to not look for the answer. And if they found any answer, and the answer was yes, it works, they didn't want to reveal it. Simply go to the oil guy and sell it for silence, for millions or billions of dollars, and to Exxia.
Quick comment, Dick.
Yeah, one quick question to Wes. Wes, right now, the display of what took place, the measurements that were made in a very big, elaborate laboratory, are shown as YouTube videos. Do you know of a article written describing the input-output, even if the apparatus itself, the internal mechanism, is not being thoroughly revealed? Is there an article in a peer-reviewed journal that you know about that describes any of these experiments. A YouTube video is a good beginning, but a YouTube video, not everyone will accept it. Back to you, Wes, and then turn it over to John. N2XJN, K2RIW.
Okay, good question. No, I do not know about any paper, but what I know is that all of these guys were very well paid. The guys that were on the glass table show, they were from the university, one of the biggest university in Turkey. Now, these guys were paid to work for that company that was their employee at that time. Now, all of the structure and everything and building the Faraday cage for everything, because that glass table was in a Faraday cage, not on the tent, like the video that I have sent you recently, that cost a lot of money. What I believe, the major goal for the investor was to get the secret, to keep it to themselves, and then to trade it for silence. That's my suspicion, but I might be wrong, and to exchange.
I understand that you had a comment, John. Go ahead.
KC2WGB. Dick, yeah, I just wanted to comment, you know, bring it back to reality. Look at the money that Tesla spent building the tower, what a cliff or whatever it was, and it didn't work. So the proof that a country spent a ton of money to investigate something does not give any validity to whether it worked or not.
Well, I have an answer for that.
Okay.
A simple thing. If there was a hoax, it would be announced as a hoax. Why didn't they do it? They were afraid that the inventor would get mad and simply throw it to the public, knowing that the patent application was already submitted. But the inventor wasn't that smart in social philosophy or social skills just to understand that this is the only way to actually find a buyer for it, just release it. So the investor did everything possible for the inventor to do not get mad, and the investor didn't believe that the device is not working, because otherwise it would sue him for fraud, and eventually not pay him the money. This is the easiest way. You know, so the inventor would be in jail. Obviously, something is fishy over there. And we're not talking about one show. We're talking about 20 different shows. Right now, four of them that were never shown came out. And to share.
Well, it just goes to prove you 20 shows and no questions are answered. I find that unusual, so I don't accept that answer. Dick, back to you.
Wes, are you sure that a patent was filed for? If so, in what country? And what is the status of the patent? I'm not sure about European patents, but I do know that the new system in the United States is that when you make a invention filing, when you file for a patent, it may take them a long time to grant the patent. By the time they review all the previous, what they call prior art, they find out, did somebody do something similar? Is it really unique? And by the time they do all of that investigating and all of that discussing and getting all the details ironed out, and if you're making 10 claims, are they going to grant all 10 of the claims or only 5 of them? If that procedure takes longer than 1 year in the United States, then your patent, your filed patent, becomes public domain. It is published as to what you filed. Is there a similar situation in Europe, and was a patent filed for it, to your knowledge? N2XJN, K2RIW.
Okay, N2XJN. The patent application is in the public domain. That's what you're saying about a patent is not necessarily what is happening. I spoke to my patent agent who was doing my patent application, and finally we've got a patent for the company. We spoke about it, the scenario is different. The bottom was examined by that patent professional. He's from Long Island, and he's retired right now. Let me just... The name of the person I can give you, and he said, at first, there will be approximately 2 years before inventor will get denial, because he's automatically assigned to the group of the patent that belongs to the group perpetual motion. Nobody's going to give the patent for it, but yes, indeed, this is international patent application that was given. I have a copy of the patent. It's in public domain, so I can send you the link. You can analyze that as much as you can. The second thing that he said is that if 100 people around the world would be able to repeat it before the patent is said to be denied, then automatically within two years, he's going to get a patent for it. He said that if, let's say, he's going to get a denial, then he can resubmit the patent. He has a priority right, and then it's going to take him an additional 2 years to get a patent if he has enough of proof. So I spoke to the inventor, and I asked him just to release the technology to the public, because there is no other way. But, John, understand one thing. 20 shows, approximately 20 shows, and no word about it. Some of them to the president, some of them to the members of parliament, to the wealthy investors, and no words about it. If they were to understand that this is a hoax, one of them, at least, would announce to the whole world, this is a hoax. Thank you, Exxon.
Dick, go ahead.
I grabbed the wrong microphone. What do you believe is the current status? The 20 shows were, I guess, given to potential investors. What are those investors doing? What is the next step to your knowledge, Wes, in 2XJM, K2LIW?
The next step is release of the technology by an inventor to the public. He has no choice at all. And there are a few videos, absolutely, radically, you didn't see, John and Dick, that, radically strange. It shows... it shows a very strange motor, and you can go to Wikipedia. I'm gonna give you the link. Hold on. Homopolar generator. You go to the homopolar generator, you see the Faraday disk, and then you see how the Faraday disk is being powered. The inventor has a two Faraday disk, but he doesn't have a closed loop with the spark, with the contact to the disk, and the disk is turning 40 kilowatt motor. I didn't send that link as of yet to you guys. Now, of course, here we're talking about year 2002 and 2004. The inventor did not have Samozapitka as of yet. That means he didn't have as of yet self-looping. Later on, he perfected the device to the stage that he didn't have to use any rotary device and any other device. He just did build the self-looping systems, plenty of them, and he made the shows, and each one was more and more power. Just a simple question to you, Dick. Let's say you are an investor, and you invested, let's say, $300,000 just to prepare for the preparation for that. Now, obviously, you find out that you lost the money. Would you then stay silent? Or would you then say, this is a hoax, and now I'm going to demand my return and to exchange?
Oh, I see what you're saying on that one. Can you spell holopolar generator, holopolar, H-O-L-O, H-O-N-O-P-O-L-A-R, something like that?
H-O-N-O-P-O-L-A-R. Generic there. Generator. H-O-N-O-P-O-L-A-R. Generator.
Okay, H-O-M-O-P-O-L-A-R, homopolar generator. I'm going to look that up in Wikipedia. I believe you did bring this to our attention once before. Is that true, Wes?
I think I was trying to, but I can send you the link to additional two materials that I'm talking about, and then you're going to be shocked. With that, of course, there is a little bit unclear situation over there, but it looks like inventor had at that time only Donald Smith device. So he started with the Tesla. I also have a original patent of Tesla about Faraday disk improved, and all of these links I can send to you. That will actually give you something for thinking. You see just two discs on the shaft, and there's two discs on the shaft without any electrical contact. I'm moving 40 kilowatts electric motor and two XJN.
Was that 40 kilowatt electric motor under load or just freewheeling?
It was freely wheeling, and it was used as the electricity generator, and there was a bank of light bulbs, approximately, I don't know how many watts, or let's say another 40 kilowatts, that was connected to it, and it gives the light.
Does that mean the motor was being operated as a generator supplying the load? I don't get that, Dick.
Well, Every motor is a generator. Come on, guys. The Faraday disk, double disk, was turning 40 kilowatts motor. The motor was creating an electricity. What's so strange about it?
Because you said the motor wasn't loaded. If it's operating as a generator and has a load on it, now we have a loaded device. Correct, Dick?
Oh, yeah. I said it was unloaded in terms of, pulling something that is heavy. It is loaded into the turns that the shaft of the Faraday disk was connected to the shaft through the pulley to the shaft of the motor, 40 kilowatt motor, and then the output of the motor was connected to the light bulb.
So it was loaded. Okay, Dick, over to you.
It does sound like there was one set of windings that were turning the armature, and another set of windings were going to the load of the light bulb. Is that true, Wes?
Well, he's saying the Faraday disk was turning the shaft of the motor.
That is correct. Say goodbye, Dick!
To NZG Mobile, listening.